Better late than never. The anti-austerity Syriza party has won Greece's general elections. And Alexis Tsipras, Syriza party's leader, has not wasted a moment. He formed an anti-austerity coalition with the right-wing party, the Greek Independence. In this edition of the debate, we'll discuss what this win means for Greece and for Europe as a whole, given that the coalition will have a comfortable majority in the new parliament. Will Syriza deliver on his promise to renegotiate Greece's bailouts worth 240 billion euros or $268 billion? European Commission head Jean-Claude Juncker has reminded Alexis Tsipras of ensuring fiscal responsibility. Why is the EU afraid of other countries to follow? Is the Eurozone at risk of a breakup, or far-right and left parties, will they pursue their anti-EU and anti-austerity policies?
Greece has a new prime minister who has promised to leave behind disastrous austerity and bring a better future for the Greeks. Alexis Tsipras's anti-austerity party, Syriza, won Sunday's general elections and forged a coalition with nationalist independent Greeks party to win a majority at parliament. The new Greek PM says Syriza's victory is a victory for all Europeans who fight austerity.
I'd like to thank all for this unforeseen wave of support and solidarity. It comes from every corner of Europe. Our victory is a victory for all the people of Europe who fight against austerity.
Tsipras' first priority will be to rework the terms of Greece's 240 billion euro bailout, which Athens received in 2010 to help resolve its economic recession. In return for the bailout money, Greece was forced to slash public sector spending, cut wages and pensions, and introduce a program of privatization. This has led to a mounting public discount, with Syriza promising to reverse much of it. The party and other opponents of Greece's austerity drive say the tough measures have only made the economy shrink and push unemployment higher. Syriza is the first anti-austerity party to take power in Europe. Left and right-wing opposition parties in Britain, Ireland, France, Italy, Spain and Portugal have hailed Syriza's victory as a reproach to the tough public budget cuts imposed in the recent economic crisis. Spain's Podemos party, which has topped several opinion polls and is aiming for an absolute majority in the country's November elections, says Greeks are going to have a true president, not a delegate of German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Germany, the paymaster for Eurozone bailout packages, however, has urged the new Greek government to uphold its commitments to international lenders. The head of the Eurozone's finance minister also warned that Greece's place in the Eurozone depends on its commitments on debt and austerity. Experts believe the rise of the anti-austerity party in Greece further highlights the wrong economic path the Eurozone had taken.
The essential problem is that the European elite has no solution whatsoever except to increase the debt. And their quantitative easing does nothing except put money into the banks which is not being lent. That money goes for bankers' bonuses and then into rising asset prices. It does not go into what matters in people's lives. It is whether or not they have jobs.
It's a matter of time whether the new Greek government would be able to get support from its European partners to write off its debt and ultimately bring a relief to austerity-hit Greeks. Analysts say if this fails, things will become more serious, since the chorus of change has already begun in the Eurozone amid a mounting popular discontent with their government's economic policies.
Joining us for this edition of the debate, we have Dean Henderson, author of Big Oil and Their Bankers, who joins us from Missouri. And also from Washington, we have Lawrence Korb. He's a former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense for the Center for American Progress. Gentlemen, welcome. Well, Dean Henderson, let's see here. The Syriza win, we can put a check mark next to that. Forming a coalition government, check mark for that. He's been sworn in, so that's another check mark. But when it comes to renegotiating the bailout terms, what do you think? Will he get that check mark next to that one?
Yeah, I think he will, actually, because the EU and the banksters in general are in a corner right now, because this deflation is spreading across the globe like wildfire. You know, it wasn't very long ago the Federal Reserve on this side of the pond was doing QE 1, 2, and 3, and it didn't really help much, and now the Europeans are doing it. I think more importantly, this marks the end of an epoch of globalization and privatization of every asset on the earth, which didn't work. I mean, it's a race to the bottom. You can't pay Chinese people a dollar a day and continue to break unions in the West and expect those consumers to have money in their pockets on either side of the pond to buy your stuff. So it's just good capitalism that they forgot about. So it's monopoly capitalism run amok. It hasn't worked. We've tried it since Reagan, and it hasn't worked. It's failed. So what we're seeing is the failure of that. And this is the beginning of the fallout. There'll be more and more left-wing parties coming to power who are resisting, you know, 60% unemployment. They've seen it now. You know, they've seen the IMF right up close and personal. It's not in Indonesia anymore. It's in Greece. So it's the end of an epoch and hopefully the beginning of a more fair and just international economy.
Do you agree with that last statement there, Lawrence Korb?
Well, I agree that Europe took the wrong economic measures after the great collapse in 2008. The United States took a different path. We actually ran up our deficit. We enacted a stimulus. There was a debate about whether it went, went far enough. We bailed out companies like General Motors, for example. And as a result, our economy is now growing larger than any time since the 1990s. We learned this lesson for the first time back in the Great Depression of the early 30s when President Hoover tried to balance the budget, and then Franklin Roosevelt came in and had the New Deal, which got the economy started to getting the economy back where it needed. And hopefully now, since Europe, other than Germany, is not doing well, that they will be willing to renegotiate the terms of the deficit. I don't think in the long term it's good for the Eurozone to break apart, but I do think that they have to begin to renegotiate the deficit, because if they don't, they're not going to get anything.
How is it that when you throw in that term, really raises a question there, Lawrence Korb, for the Eurozone to break up? I mean, is the Eurozone break up a possibility? Were we to see if there was going to be an exit, which many are calling for, or predicting an exit, Grexit is what they're calling it.
Well, I do think it is a possibility, because if Greece defaults, other countries, for example, France also has a large deficit. Their economy is not doing as well as they would like. Then you're going to see a lot of parties who don't like the Eurozone basically campaigning. For example, the British do not have the common currency. The Danes do not have the common currency. The Swiss do not. So you could see a gradual end of the whole Eurozone, which I don't think would be good for Europe as a whole, because it's not just economic, it's also a political union.
So based on that, Dean Henderson, you also seem to think that this maybe is the beginning of a new era in terms of there being this possibility for a Greek exit. So tell us, do you think if and were that to happen, will we see other countries follow suit, at a minimum, to try to renegotiate their deals, their bailouts? But then what about the EU? What about the Troika? How are they going to react?
Right. It'll be interesting. But I really do... I agree with most everything Lawrence said. The one thing I do have a slight disagreement. I think the Eurozone falling apart would be a good thing. Most of the people I've talked to in Europe, the citizens that live there, it's unjust to everyone. It's unjust to the Germans, because, why should the German working class carry, the Greek upper class, which is what's going to happen? I mean, it's not like it's just a class thing between Germany and the Greeks. It's always the poor people get punished, and that's why you have Syriza, and that's why you have the Populist Party in Spain about to get a lot of votes. So I think actually the European Union coming apart is a good thing. It's another construct of globalization, which is the epoch that's ending. Basically you put countries together and form these business cartels, but the citizens don't benefit, the corporations benefit. They sign GATT, they sign NAFTA, they enter the WTO, where you don't even have sovereignty as a nation anymore. So the more sovereignty nation has seems to be a good thing. And a lot of these citizens are also feeling that they've lost their sovereignty. So the European Union coming apart, I think, is actually a good thing. As far as that goes, I hope NAFTA comes apart on this side of the pond, too, and all these trade agreements, because they just favor the corporations and the elite and this sort of financial parasite class of bankers, which is what they've become. And so we need production in this country, not, you know, pencil pushers and button pushers that get billions of dollars in bonuses, you know, for sitting on an office in Wall Street. It's just not right. People know it. It's become so obvious, but it's over the top. And so you're going to see a movement back to the left, I predict, around the world and even in the United States eventually.
Lawrence Korb.
Well, I happen to think it would be good for the Eurozone to stay together, not just economically, but politically. Remember, the Eurozone came apart because of the two horrible world wars that you had in Europe, and that's why they developed it. I also think if they can resolve this crisis by deferring the debt or extending the payments, you can end up with a trade agreement between the United States and Europe. I mean, the United States is about to get a trade agreement, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, with several